November 2nd. Warren and Ryan here with you for Championship Weekend in college football. We'll also talk about the NFL. Cowboys play tonight, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Ryan, you got your wish, Taysom Hill. You were wondering about Taysom Hill. Here he is.
Ask and ye shall receive.
So a little foreshadowing there. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and the iHeartRadio app under the podcast section as well. Did you ever take a look at your team totals? Because they're all done now if we want to recap those. I know we did a mid-season recap.
Yeah. No, you know what? I did, but I don't remember where I put them.
Okay.
I'll have that Monday. I'll have that Monday.
We do know one was a loser.
We do know one was indeed a loser. We just missed it by that much. But the other ones, yeah, we'll have to double check on.
Okay, all right. So I'll save those for Monday as well. Did you stay up till 11 o'clock last night to pop some bottles?
So I tried very, very hard. You talk about the Suns, Warriors?
No, I'm talking about the lockout, celebrating the lockout last night at midnight. We are now in a lockout.
No. I did not do that at all.
Because one of the bits in college I did, this was what, 20, this had to be 2014. I don't know, 2015. I would buy some champagne and celebrate when the government shut down. As a bit, and those videos did well on Vine. That was when Vine was still around, I think. I remember putting them on Vine. Those got some numbers out there, but I did not do that for the lockout last night.
Bummer. You probably missed out on some numbies on the talk.
On the talk, there's another video that I did this week that could have put some numbies on the talk, but I did not do that.
Why not? I mean, we need some what do they call it? Virality? Something.
Variety?
No, something to go viral.
Well, that would have gone viral, yeah. We will not say. But no, I was not about the Suns, about baseball, the lockdown.
Oh, wait! Are we talking pretzels here?
Yes. We are. Which you should have. Look, okay, I'll just say this. This is the best. I don't know if you've never had them, have you?
Have not.
You need to go run.
I was going
to
say, I thought about running to Trader Joe's immediately after the rant, but because look, you weren't wrong about those cornbread chips. So I know when you throw something out there about Trader Joe's, you know, you have a pretty high batting average on hitting. So I trust you on it.
Yeah. These things are the white chocolate peppermint pretzels. They are a must have for the holiday season, but you got to buy them fast because they've run out. Mm-hmm. And so you got to load up on them. So go to Trader Joe's and get those because those are great. They also, look, they got a ton of Christmas related stuff there. They got like their Oreos, whatever they call them, Joe's O's or whatever. They have those in like with like peppermint things in before. I've had those. They're very good. They got a lot of Christmas stuff there. So if you need some Christmas stuff, you got to go to the TJ's to get it.
Well, like I said, I'll be making a trip out there yes. ASAP.
Yes. Got to. What's the even closest one to you? Is it like the one that used to be by your apartment?
No. There's one on 75 in El Dorado.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know where. I didn't know where one up
there. Yeah. There's one. There's one right there. And a matter of fact, right across the parking lot, my favorite pizza place from Arizona. Growing up, ate it all the time. Fire wings, fire pizza. Better than Pizza Guy, the place that we used to order when we'd get rough and rowdy.
Yeah.
They for whatever reason, they were only in Arizona, coming out and opened yesterday, opened a brand new one called Barrow's Pizza. So if anybody's in North McKinney or Plano or whatever, go hit a Barrow's Pizza. It'll change your life. And Jamie told me the location that they're at, there's been like a ton of places that kind of cycle in and out of there because nothing can stay open. I need this place to stay open. I might personally just try to like fund it to make sure it stays open. So make sure you go get Barrow's Pizza and Wings. It's fire. I'm so lit. I can't wait for Sunday because we do pizza and wings every Sunday. And so 75 in El Dorado. It's going to be on the west side of the highway, right across the parking lot from Trader Joe's. Go get it. Love it. And thank me later.
Are you going to have to tell them that this has been this is a graveyard spot?
So yeah, I don't know. I thought about it, being like, hey, like when I first Jamie's the first one that saw that they were opening there, and she texted me and told me, and I about shit my pants because I was so excited. And I was like, bro, I might go in there and be like, hey, let me just run your social media, run your marketing, pay me in pizza and wings. Don't even pay me a salary. I just got to make sure that this place stays open, and I will do that and make sure that I, you know, personally find everybody in the city of McKinney and north of here or wherever surrounding towns that they are here and come here for their pizza and wings.
All right. Well, hopefully you're successful in that endeavor.
I hope so. It was funny. Real quick story. So a couple weeks ago when I was golfing on Monday out at Westridge, two of the guys I was golfing with, they were actually from Arizona. And so I was like, hey, you guys ever go to Barrow's when you lived out there? And they're like, oh, man, all the time. That's the best pizza. One guy was like, he was more excited than I was. He's like, dude, Barrow's the best pizza ever. Best wings, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, they're opening one in McKinney. And he was like, what? No way. No way. And he texted his wife and was like, hey, they're opening up a Barrow's, blah, blah, blah. And then like three or four holes later, he's like, dude, we've been looking at houses and we found a place not far from there. He goes, my wife just said, put an offer on the house because it's right by Barrow's. So literally, oh, swear to God, I'd change this guy's life by telling him that Barrow's pizza was there. Look, it's no exaggeration. It's that good. It's that good. It's really good pizza and wings. But literally changed that guy's life. He's like, we're going to go put an offer on the house. I think we're going to go sign up at El Dorado Country Club. Like, it's a done deal. He's like, all because of Barrow's. I was like, all right, well, there you go, bud. Live it up. So that was kind of funny. Yeah, so that's a little peek behind the curtain of some fantastic pizza and wings.
All right. Well, hopefully that guy is – when did it open?
Opened yesterday.
Well, hopefully. I bet he was there yesterday.
Probably.
I bet he was there yesterday. All right, let's get into it. We'll get into the college football first championship. We got 11 games this week, 10 in the – 10 championship games in the one makeup COVID game. That is the Pac-12 game. We got underway on Friday night, but really all the games of substance are on Saturday. And we do have a nice little breakdown of the schedule. I like how this kind of always works out. Obviously, the most important game on Saturday is at 11 a.m. It's Kent State versus Northern Illinois in the MAC championship game, rematch of a great MACtion game on a Tuesday night. It was like 51-45. But no, we got Oklahoma State, Baylor. I'll tell you what, going to the line is now like 5.5. I think this is a bad spot for Oklahoma State. Here, I don't know what you think. Too many. I don't think it's more of a too many points. I'm not even looking at this from a spread. I'm looking at this from you never beat your rival. You finally beat them. And then you have the big come down from that on Saturday night. You play a team that you were in a dogfight with earlier in the season in Baylor. And I just think it's a hard thing. Like, if you've looked at Oklahoma State football for a long, long time. Like the last time they were in this chance, they go on the road when they were in to go to the BCS championship game was the last time they even had a chance. I think it was 2012. They had a chance. They go on the road to Oklahoma State or Iowa State, on a Friday night, and they lose there. This just seems like whenever Oklahoma State, hey, you know what? They got a chance. Maybe they make the Big 12 title game. They lose that next game. Well, now it's, hey, Oklahoma State, they could make the playoff if they win. This to me just feels like a total letdown. And Baylor's a good team. And this just feels like a typical Oklahoma State that they're going to lose. I hope they don't. I want them to win and I want them to get in if Bama loses. But I just think this is a big time just letdown spot in this case.
Yeah, no, I don't totally disagree with you. Excuse me at all. I think it could be very much so a big time letdown spot for Oklahoma State. Both these teams are good. I mean, obviously they're both here in the Big 12 championship game, but they're both kind of surprisingly, I would say much, much better than people expected. If you would have gone, you know, back to the beginning of the season when we're doing our team totals and we said, hey, predict the Big 12 championship game, I don't know that either of these teams would have been one of our selections. You know, OU probably absolutely would have been one. And then, you know, kind of flip a coin for the others. So, you know, the fact that they're both here, I think that's, you know, tip your hat to them, and especially for Baylor to have as quick of a turnaround as they did. You know, obviously Matt Rhule leaving, he kind of had them going in the right direction, and then they're able to keep things going and make it to the Big 12 championship game. For Oklahoma State, they kind of seem like they've been spinning their tires for the last few years. They'll have some really good years, and then they'll kind of fall back down a little bit. Then they'll come back up, and, you know, just kind of rolling, you know, roller coaster of seasons where they're just kind of stuck in the middle, never really threatening for anything major. And now here they are. And I think if you're Jeff Van Gundy, or excuse me, not Jeff Van Gundy. I know his last name is Gundy. Why am I missing his first name?
Mike
Gundy. Thank you. He's a man. He's got to be at least 50 now, maybe 45.
52.
Yeah.
I think.
So if you're Mike Gundy, you gotta look at yourself and shake your mullet and say, hey man, this is gut check time right here. You've got to get these guys up. I think this is a can't lose for Oklahoma State, because if you lose this game, you know what is. You're definitely not gonna be guaranteed that you're gonna ever be back here. So if you're Mike Gundy, I think you gotta. And obviously this goes without saying. Obviously he's the head coach. He's trying to do his best to make sure these guys win, but this is 100% a cannot lose game for Oklahoma State. Cause I don't know when, if even in the next 3, 4, 5 years, if they'll be able to be back in this spot where not only are they looking at a Big 12 championship title, but they're also looking at a playoff berth, which I mean, I think we all agree that that's way sky high, pie in the sky dreams for a team like a program like Oklahoma State.
Well, you're missing when you say you don't know if they're going to be in the spot again. I think you're missing a big thing when you say that.
What's that?
Or you're forgetting about
that OU and Texas.
OU
leaving?
And Texas are gone, and they are, huh?
I don't think that matters. I mean, Texas hasn't been in the mix for 10 years.
But they're going to be the best team in the conference.
Maybe, yeah.
Who's
They're definitely going to be at the top. Yeah, for, I mean, if Baylor can keep things going, they'll be.
But they're
in the
better
mix
than
still.
Baylor. They've been more consistent than them.
We'll see if TCU can turn things around. You know, don't count out Houston and Cincinnati coming over.
No, I know.
So you know what I mean. Like both those teams can score. Cincinnati can play really good defense. Now the big thing with Cincinnati, I think, has a lot to do with who's going to be their head coach. If Luke Fickle sticks around, if he goes to a bigger program, if they are going to continue to be as good as we've seen. So that's why, you know, some of these teams are bringing in. BYU is going to be a very good team. BYU is one of those teams that you go out to go play at their house, weird things happen. And then, you know, before you look up, you're losing this ball game when you walk in as maybe a 4 or 5 points favorite, and all of a sudden you're losing to BYU outright. So that's why when I said on Monday that the Big 12 is going to be better without OU in Texas, that was the wrong use of words. I think it's going to be more competitive and more teams are going to be in the mix for the title year in and year out.
But if you look at it, other than OU, there's been a decent amount of teams that have played in the Big 12 championship game lately. It's other than Oklahoma, Texas has played in one, Baylor's played in two. This is their second. You're getting, I'm pretty sure TCU's played in one. Oklahoma State's played in one. Other than Oklahoma, it's been pretty. Iowa State played in one.
This is going off the top of my head, but this is probably the first year in a while going into the Big 12 championship game. Like you really can't say that they're like, you don't know for sure what team is going to win. Like going into it, usually it's like, okay, this is OU's game to lose, right? Like for the most part, since Lincoln Riley's been there, let's just go use that timeline. Since Lincoln Riley's been there, they're going to, you know, if OU's in the Big 12 championship game, it's like, well, it's their game to lose. Like if they lose, that'll be a shocker. This game, I think it's a coin flip. Yeah, Oklahoma State might be favored by 5.5, but as good as that Baylor running game is, you know, I think it's a lot closer than that. And you kind of alluded to that at the top of the show too. So I think we're kind of in the same, you know, thinking the same lane there. But I think we'll see a more, like you said, OU's been in it. Then there's been a mix of other teams filtering in and out. I think we'll see more of a combination of different teams moving in and out once the conference realignment happens.
I surprised the spread just not a pick 'em.
Yeah,
I'm in agreement. That's why I said I think this Oklahoma State thing. I don't have a pick. It's not on the card. But
yeah, me neither.
I part of me wants to leave under, but then last, I don't know. Oklahoma State's defense is really, really good, so I don't know about that one. Then we'll save Bama and Georgia for the last game. Then we got Houston and Cincinnati at the same time as Georgia, Alabama. Cincinnati, look, they got it at home. Lots of pressure on them to finish out an undefeated season, hopefully get in the playoff. Then you could say that Cincinnati being undefeated has cost Luke Fickell a potential job at Notre Dame. I think. I don't know if you agree about that.
Yeah, probably them. I think them being in the top four 100% did cost him a job.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame. But you know, there's still a couple other spots open, you know, Florida's been filled. So I guess OU is really the only job that's open.
Yeah, but I don't think he's a fit there.
I don't think so either. And I will not be surprised if Bob Stoops sticks around for more.
I think he's sticking around too. I agree.
Yeah. I 100%. I mean, especially the checks that they're handing out for these coaches. We have Bob Stoops come back
even for a couple years to coach.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So no, I agree with you there that Luke Fickell probably missed out on a couple big head coaching jobs because Cincinnati's in the top four. Now, if they're sitting at like 8 or 9 and they're undefeated, I think he beats feet and he's out of there and goes to Notre Dame specifically or somewhere else. But, you know, now he can stick around and take this team into the Big 12, see if he can compete with the big boys when he's in a Power 5 conference and you know, maybe move on from there. Maybe it made him a little extra money if he's able to do that.
Yes, it could have done that. But what are your the line on this is like 11. The total, I do like the over in this game. Houston is, people have been sleeping on Houston, I think. People have been sleeping on them.
Houston is very good. They're another one of those teams, too, that's like, you know, you go back to like the Greg Ward years, which, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even longer than that, where like just out of nowhere, they're freaking good. And, you know, they got a run and gun offense. They're, you know, always lighting up the scoreboard. You know, pretty good defensively. They're not terrible defensively. And, you know, so I think this game, I like the over in this game as well. Both teams are in the top 16 of points scored per game. Cincinnati 13th, Houston 16th. They're right there. They both score just, you know, Houston's right under 39 points a game. Cincinnati's right over 39 points a game. So I think this is absolutely going to be a shutout. They both put up a ton of yards. Like I said, I think this is going to be a very good game. And I think even though that I still think this is going to go over, I'm looking at it's 53.5. I won't be surprised if a defensive stop is what ends up winning this game because they both are letting up less than 20 points a game as well. So like I said, they both can score and they can both play a little defense too. I think the offense powers both of these teams. But again, if the defense is the one that comes up and makes the stop or makes one final play in this game, I will not be shocked at all. But I think this is going to be a barn burner. I'm looking forward to it. And I think this is a lot of points too. I think this should be closer to maybe right around a touchdown and a half. To make this thing a little bit closer.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. All right, then we'll just sense where that's time. We'll go to the time. Georgia, Alabama. I have been from the A&M game on saying that Alabama is going to miss the playoff. I thought they were going to lose to Auburn. With Bo Nix, I think they do lose to Auburn. They still almost lost to Auburn without them. But I've been pretty steadfast in that I don't think they're going to make the playoff. And then their play in the last month has just made me dig my heels in the ground because the last, really since the Tennessee game, they pulled away late in the fourth quarter. Their last four games against SEC teams have been poor. They should have lost to LSU at home. They squeaked out a 6-point win. They had the tough game against Arkansas, and then they had last week against Auburn where they got shut out for the first, 25 minutes of the game and didn't score a touchdown until the 59th minute. So I think they are going to lose. But the problem is why I am hesitating in this is because Georgia is, they always mess it up. They always find a way to screw it up. What?
It sounds like you're finally coming around.
No. Look, I still think Georgia's going to win. But they're very good. They've stopped a ton of offenses. Their offense is good. They have the defensive line to just drill to just pressure Bryce Young. I got to pull up the stat I saw about Bryce Young and his pressure rates the last half of the season. But Georgia messing it up has been in the back of my mind. 6 is a lot of points to give to Alabama. Everything going forward and everything I've seen, I think they should beat them handily, but it's Georgia. And that's the thing that is holding me back from laying minus six on the card.
And see, that's been part of my argument this whole time when it comes down to Bama, Georgia, is the guy that's standing on the sidelines for Georgia wearing the visor and the headset, Kirby Smart. I just don't trust him in big games. If I do got to put money on one of these guys, it's going to be on Saban 100 out of 100 times. And I think there's probably a lot of people that are in agreement with that. It's not really going out on a huge limb. Even this season, with as inconsistent as Alabama's been, I still am going to put my money on Nick Saban and his guys that he goes and the way he gets his team ready to go. I mean, this is old hat for him. He's been here plenty of times. Now, Kirby Smart has been here, you know, a handful of times himself as well. But when it comes to coaching in a big game, coaching against his assistants, which I think sometimes stuff like that kind of gets overrated a little bit. But I think in this case, it does play a little bit of a factor, because I think until Kirby Smart finally is able to beat Saban, and it could very well be this weekend, it's always going to be kind of a little bit little brother, big brother dynamic, where the big brother always owns the little brother, and Kirby Smart kind of personifies that in a big way. And so that's why I'm trusting Saban and his guys way, way more than I'm trusting Kirby Smart, even though that defense, Georgia's defense, isn't even allowing a touchdown a game. Think about that. Not even a touchdown a game they're allowing defensively. That defense is sick. And the fact that Alabama's offense has been struggling a lot lately, and the offensive line's been struggling, even though they're actually scoring more points per game than Georgia, Alabama is, I still, you know, as good as that defense is, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And the offensive line has got to play out of their minds. But I still like Alabama outright. And this game is on my card as well. You can probably guess where I'm going with it, where I've been going.
Oh, you like Alabama outright.
I like Alabama outright.
Well, then we know what's on your card then. but the big difference to me in this is that if you look at common opponents that these teams have played, like Georgia has throttled everybody. Like, they didn't let up touchdowns against Tennessee, or they held one up late. Like, they didn't let up. They shut out Arkansas. They held Auburn to 10 points on the road. They held Tennessee to 17 points. Like, the three, Florida, they held them to 7. Like, if you look at the common opponents, they've played them. They've just blown them out. And Bama, 2-point win at home or on the road against Florida. Tennessee, they allow 24 and they got to pull away in the fourth quarter. Arkansas, it's 42-35. Auburn, 4 overtimes. Like, just if you go look at common opponents, they've handled that a lot. That's a season where you're like, man, they're on a totally different playing field than Alabama. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee scored the most points against them. That's 17.
Yeah.
And didn't Kentucky score like a late Kentucky scored 13, but they scored on like the last play of the game. It was a 20. Kentucky went on a 22 play, 11 minute and 23 second drive, 75 yards to score their final touchdown. Like, teams don't score in the double digits against Georgia. And here's the sack thing. It's from Bill Connolly on ESPN, is that so Alabama, their first six Power Conference opponents, they were averaging 42.7 points per game. And now against the last three, they've allowed 24 points, or they've scored 23 points in the last averaging in the last three games. So Bryce Young went from taking sacks on 5.6% of his dropbacks and then throwing 30% of his passes at or behind the line of scrimmage to now in the past three games has been sacked 10%, 9.9%, and then his passes behind the line at 18.8%. So they're taking more shots down the field, but it is coming up more sacks. And Georgia, their defense without blitzing is 9th in sack rate, and they're 80th in the country in blitzes per dropback . So they can get a lot of pressure without bringing the blitz. So they could play maybe some zone or something to keep the deep balls ahead of them. So that's a stat that would go in George's favor. Also a big thing that Jameson Williams got the targeting in the first half, not the second half, because if he was out in the first half, that would be a big issue there. I don't know. Everything to me points that this should be a Georgia. Everything on paper says Georgia should win this game quite handily, or they should be in control. But the fact that it's Georgia is giving me is the thing that's giving me pause.
Rightfully so.
All right. Then the last game we have that we could get. Well, we got two of them at night. Excuse me. Michigan, Iowa. I think, again, this is another letdown spot here. Look, you were big on Iowa early on in the season. Their offense is bad. You've come down off the Iowa. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you've come down off the Iowa, but their offense is terrible. The defense is very good. And again, this is a Michigan. When you would think that they're going to get in this spot again, they have to beat Ohio State to get in this spot. But this is the best chance they could potentially ever have to make the playoff right here. And there's a lot of pressure on the Michigan Wolverines. And I think I like the double digit points in Iowa. I know that's smelly to take because they're off. I know this is a smelly line to take, but man, I kind of like Iowa in the points here.
Yeah, I mean, as good as that defense is, I don't blame you for that. I don't have this game on my card because of how bad that Iowa offense is. It just can get very, very stagnant at times. And I feel like as good as their defense is, I still think Michigan's going to be able to run the ball pretty efficiently and still throw it when they need to. And so I think Iowa probably keeps this within 10.5. Stays within the number, whatever the number ends up being. But I think Michigan still wins this game and finishes the season in the playoff, after this. Because I get it. It is a huge letdown spot for them. But there's no way that I think that they can lose this game with as bad as that offense is for Iowa. After watching them, for being as high as I was on them at the beginning of the season, I think like week 3 or 4, I said they might be the best team in the Big Ten. And then soon after that, it was like, holy crap, this offense stinks. They were just playing out of their minds for the time being. So I think Michigan's be able to run the ball and move the ball at will, and we'll be able to win this game. Not, I won't say no problem, but I still think Iowa's good enough to maybe keep it within the number.
I just think there's something about Iowa. Well, Iowa always plays Michigan very well, too. They always play them very well. They've beat them a couple times when they've been at home. I know it's just something I agree. I think Michigan should be able to win this game pretty handily, but I don't know something about it. Look, last week, Iowa should have got drilled by Nebraska. I know it's Nebraska. Nebraska finds ways to lose every game, but they still had to make plays down the stretch. Like they blocked a punt, then they got a safety and all that those type of plays. But I don't know. Something about Iowa is weird in this. It would be the most Michigan thing ever, though, too, of you finally beat Ohio State the first time in 10 years, 14 out of 15 you lost to them, and now you go beat an Iowa team that can barely move the ball, and you lose. Like, that would be a total Michigan move.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. It would be a big-time Michigan move. It would be a big-time point-and-laugh-at-Harbaugh moment for everybody. But I just don't see that happening. I don't think it's within the. I think it's a possibility, but I think this leans far too much on the side of Michigan.
All right, then the last game. Look, this could be a Heisman potential if Alabama loses. Who is going to win the Heisman if Alabama loses? I said I think they should just abstain from giving it this year. You know how the Baseball Hall of Fame, if no one gets 75%, no one gets in. I think they should do that this year. Don't even think like Bryce Young is. Everyone's like, oh, Bryce Young's a favorite. You're telling me that guy's the best player in college football this year? He looks pretty average to me.
That I had agreed with. I would agree with. It's crazy that he is the favorite.
He's not the best player on the team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I might even put Brian Robinson ahead of him.
I'd put Will Anderson, the defensive lineman. That guy's making plays all over the place. Like, how's he not getting run for Heisman?
He's very good. I know Hutchinson, the
a lot of buzz.
From the end from Michigan's getting a lot of buzz. at the beginning of the season, Thibodeau from Oregon, he was getting a lot of buzz, but you know, it's tough for a defensive player to really win this thing. So yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I guess, you know, this would be one of those years where it's like, fast forward 10 years and you're going to be like, wait, who won it in 2021? And, but yeah, it definitely could have some, Heisman implications if Kenny Pickett goes out there and spins that thing and has a big game and Bama loses.
And I would say it's pretty high. It's pretty likely that they has a big game because the Wake Forest defense, is terrible. They're giving up a ton of yards. This game smells like an over, which scares me. But, I mean, it could be a Heisman showcase for him on prime time on ABC. So he might get it by default.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. So last week I went 5-5. We are now 74-55-2 on the season. Ryan, what was your record last week?
3-4 last week. I've come crashing down as of late. Started right around week 10. I really took a turn for the worse. So now my record is sitting at 81-55 for the season.
All right. That's a good record, though.
Yeah.
All right. I have 7 plays this week, and I am scared on 4 of them. Almost. All right. Maybe, you know what? Maybe 5 of them. I don't know.
Yeah.
This could be bad, I think. All right, lead us off.
All right, I'm going to take UTSA +3 against Western Kentucky. I know UTSA had a big letdown loss last week to UNT, but I think they bounced back. They've been the best team in this conference all year long. So, in fact, they're laying 3 against Western Kentucky, bit of a head-scratcher. I like Oregon +2.5 in a revenge game. Get back after Utah. I think they were a 3 or 3.5 point dog last time against Utah, and Utah blew them out of the water. I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at Oregon and say, hey, maybe Utah can't beat them twice. I like the Baylor-Oklahoma State over 46.5. I like the Kent State-NIU over 73.5. That's a huge number, but I like it. Kent State plays really fast, and I like Kent State in the game, but I didn't put on the official card. I'm just going to go ahead and take the over. I'll take San Diego State laying the 6 against Utah State. I alluded to this earlier, Cincinnati-Houston over 53.5. I still like Pitt -3 against Wake Forest. I don't think Wake Forest is anywhere near as good as people thought they were, or I don't even know if anybody thought they were any good. They were just undefeated. So I'll take Pitt -3. And then my stone cold moral lock of the year, Alabama +6.5 against Georgia.
All right. I am going to take a lot of overs for me this week, which scares me on championship week. I'm going to take the over in UTSA Western Kentucky. I don't know if you know, but Dave, this is the second time they've played this season. Did you happen to see the score in the first game they played?
You know what? I did not.
It was 52-46.
Ooh.
And the total in that game was 71.
What's the total in this game? 72.5?
72.5. They're playing at UTSA in a dome, so you don't have weather to deal with. So I'm going to take the over 72.5. I'm going to take the total in the here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay off the total in the MAC championship game, and I'm going to take the Kent State team total, which is 39.5. Never mind. We'll take the total. That's a lot of points for Kent. We'll stick with the total. What did you say it was? 73.5?
Yeah, 73.5.
Okay, yeah. 73.5 of the MAC championship team. We'll keep that there. I like Louisiana Lafayette +3. Now, I'm a little scared about this because Lafayette drilled them on like that Tuesday or Wednesday night in October. But Billy Napier's coaching, it's at Lafayette, last game against Louisiana. What would be a better way to go out than winning a conference championship on your home field in your last game for a coach? I think he's been there for like 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take them +3. And if they lose, they lose. So what? I'm going on the field play, the emotional play. I also have the over in Cincinnati, Houston, 53. I have the over in Wake Forest, Pitt at 71.5.
Woo!
I'm taking it. I mean, look, that's a lot of points, but they don't. Pitt on the total this year is 8-4. Wake has calmed down a little bit to 6-6. But, I mean, they put up a ton of points. I feel like this could be like when they played UNC, the total was 78. I took it and it was 58-55. Now it probably doesn't get that high, but I think both teams can score in the 40s here.
Okay.
And I think the weather in Charlotte's supposed to be pretty good. I'm going to, well, now it's at 71.5, just dropped right now. Even better. And then I am going to hold the nose and take Iowa plus 11. Or 10.5, whatever it is. I think it's 11. So I'll hold the nose, take Iowa at 11. And then my last game, I'm taking USC plus 4. Lincoln Riley, new coach. The new coach game worked at Texas Tech this year. I'm going to take the new coach game as they go.
Is he going to be coaching in this game?
No, but he's going to be there.
Oh, okay.
He's going to watch. This is a prove yourself. This is a job.
Job audition.
Job interview for these kids. Job interview for these kids. So I'm taking USC plus 4. All right, that is that. All right, to the NFL. Tonight, Cowboys Saints. This is a get right game for the Cowboys.
Gotta be
a get right game for the Cowboys, especially after seeing the Saints last week. I know Simeon was horrible. I don't know how much better Taysom Hill is gonna be, but we saw them get just absolutely clapped by the Bills. You gotta, and the Cowboys offense last week against the Raiders was pretty good. You got to think this is going to be a get right game, or has to be a get right game for the Cowboys tonight. It has to be. So Westgate in the contest, I'm taking them minus 4.5. I think right now it's 6. I think I'm going to lay the 6 too, but this has to be a get right game for the Cowboys tonight, mainly on the defensive side of the ball. Because I think the offense is fine, but the defense has to play better. You can't have Taysom Hill, gadget of all trades, $25 million quarterback, just potentially light you up.
Yeah, this game's on my card as well. I'm also taking the Cowboys and laying the 4.5. Yeah, Taysom Hill, I mean, look, he gives them a better athletic option there at quarterback. So if the offensive line isn't protecting the way that they weren't last week against Buffalo, he can at least escape. And I'll be surprised if he throws the ball more than 20 times, more than, you know, if you set the total at 22.5 on passes, I might take the under on that for Taysom Hill. Now he might have to start passing out of necessity because they're down by 40, or they're just going to turn around and hand it off to Kamara or have him run the quarterback power over and over again if they're down by that much too, and just pack it in, call it a day. But I think the thing that helps the Cowboys defense is obviously Taysom Hill isn't known for his prolific passing, and B, they don't have really a big time wide receiver. They got a couple decent wide receivers, but big time wide receivers to run down the field and drop pass interferences on Anthony Brown like the Raiders did. So that's got to be working in their favor as well. Micah Parsons, I think, is going to be in the backfield all day. DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be coming back, so that's a big boost for the Cowboys defense as well. So this has got to be a get right game, getting Amari Cooper back. Obviously Michael Gallup's going to be in there, who had a big game last week. I think if they just have a nice balanced offense, you know, pound the rock with Zeke a little bit, definitely use Tony Pollard in the passing and the running game, and then feed the ball, you know, to your targets in Cooper, Gallup and Schultz. And then obviously Cedric Wilson when you need to, if they have a nice balanced attack, I think this should be an easy win for the Cowboys.
There is a little bit of a question mark, though, with McCarthy not coaching. I know some of us have been like, oh, is he really – his game management, maybe the game management gets a little bit better.
Dan Quinn is not much better.
Huh?
Dan Quinn is not much better with his game management.
That's another thing. I honestly wish Jerry would come down from the owner's box and get going up. Right? How great would that be?
That would be hilarious. That would be hilarious.
I mean, he's been waiting for this. He's been waiting for this his whole life. Like, he's probably thinking, damn it, Dan Quinn didn't get COVID. Why did his vaccine have to work? Did Dan Quinn get COVID earlier in the season, didn't he?
I don't know.
I think he did. I think he got it early. He's like, damn it, why couldn't he get COVID later when everybody is getting it now? Why did his vaccine have to work this time?
Then we might have seen Ben McAdoo down there on the sidelines.
But I don't think Jerry would have done that. I think he would have come Jackson DeVille mascot style, bungee jumping down to the sidelines from the owner's box.
As long as he doesn't turn into Owen Hart, that's fine.
Did you see the mascot got stuck up there last week?
Yeah.
That's a ridiculous move that he does that.
He does that, and he gets stuck like maybe like 30% of the time. Like, that's not the first time he's gotten stuck. It's hilarious, especially because it's the Jaguars who stink. And the one picture I saw of him, it looked like the cord was wrapped around his neck, so it looked like he was hanging himself. So, I mean, obviously suicide, not funny. But yes, when it's a mascot, and it's a mascot of a bad team, kind of funny.
Kind of funny for sure. But I'm just wondering how the – like, it's Dan Quinn's first game on the sidelines. I don't think it really should be an issue. They've got all these protocols going through, and you would think that this team is very prepared for this, but I don't know. Maybe that's something in the back of my head, but I think this is, again, is a get right spot here. The Saints are not very good. And I know this is always like a big game whenever Dallas goes to New Orleans. They always get fired up for it, but they just don't have the horses this week.
The biggest thing for me is, Kellen Moore still got this offense on lock. And so, like I said, as long as that offense is rolling, we should be good. But B, the fact that Dan Quinn is down on the sidelines, that means he's going to have to turn his hat around and wear his hat facing and not going to be able to have his Copenhagen next to him. And so that might be that, you know, that might throw him off a little bit. He might have to be frontward facing hat Dan Quinn, not backwards hat guy up in the box. So, you know, that could throw things off a little bit.
That could throw things off. We'll have to see there. What is it? Prison Dan Quinn up in the booth. And now we get regular Mike. Regular Dan Quinn on the sideline.
We get date Dan Quinn, not date prison Dan. Quinn. We get date Dan now.
Or as people like, it's a Instagram Dan Quinn in the booth, LinkedIn on the sideline.
Yep, exactly.
We'll have to see what goes on there. All right, other games this weekend. Monday night's probably the biggest. Would you say that's the biggest game?
Yeah.
Patriots, gotta be. Bills gotta be. 49ers are playing. Oh boy, Seattle. They're bad. I know Washington got a nice win on Monday night, but Seattle, just surprised how bad the offense is there. What else looks appealing? Not a lot. Oh, Chargers Bengals is probably the next best game out there.
Yeah.
It looks like a kind of a weak Pittsburgh, Baltimore doesn't have the same juice. Well, it doesn't have really the same juice. Pittsburgh stinks. Not a really lot. The Sunday slate looks a little tough.
Yeah, it does. You know, a lot of individual matchups this week between good teams and bad teams. You know, you got the, like you mentioned, the Ravens and the Steelers. We got the 49ers Seahawks. A couple games. You can throw the Chiefs Broncos in there where it's interdivision teams playing each other, so it does have some meaning to it more so than other games. But when you really look at it, like, I hated this board. I took like two games for the card, and then I like forced myself to take three more to get to the five that I really don't feel great about, just because there's some big numbers out there. And as crazy as this season's been in the NFL already, with teams losing to teams that they shouldn't, you know, vice versa, it's you don't know what to expect. But just as far as on paper, there really isn't a game where it's like, oh man, I got to sit down and make sure I'm watching that one, other than maybe the game tonight. And then, like you said, the Monday night game.
I think Chargers Bengals is in that.
It could be good, but then it could also turn into a clunker real quick, depending on which team comes out. Really, for both teams.
If
we get both good Chargers and good Bengals, this will absolutely be a great game. But if we get, you know, when the Chargers stink, they stink. And when the Bengals stink, they stink.
Yeah.
So, you know, if as long as we get both good versions of them, I think that could be a barn burner. But other than that, you know, there really isn't a whole lot to get excited about.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. All right. How'd you go last year? I've been racking up to 2-3 weeks. I'm 2-3. Now I'm 34-26. Look, still solid, but I'm struggling right now lately.
I went 3-2 last week. So that brings my record to 29-29-2.
Oh, that's about as average as it can as average as it can be.
That's how I do it, baby.
All right, so we're both on the Cowboys tonight, -4.5. The other games that I have, I'm gonna take the Bills on Monday night, -3.
Okay.
They gotta figure it out, I think. They played better against the Saints. I'm gonna take them. I don't really love it. I don't really like that. I'm going to take the Dolphins -4 against the Giants. I think Glennon is playing at quarterback, so that's why I'm going to take the 4 with the Dolphins. The Dolphins also been playing pretty well lately. Once Tua came back, like, Tua's putting together a pretty solid season. I know he gets hurt a lot, which is a killer for them, but he's been putting together a pretty solid season when he's been healthy out there. I'm going to take the Lions plus 7. They're coming off. They got extra rest against the Vikings. The Vikings are hot and cold. They're at home. You got to think, are they going to win a game? This could be a spot here. I think the Vikings probably win it, but I'll take the 7. This is just a spot game. The Raiders minus 2.5 against Washington. The only reason I'm doing this, this is the NFL really hosed Washington here.
Yeah.
The Raiders get that Thursday night. They get the mini bye. Then Washington gets the Monday night game, and they got to fly across the country to go to to Vegas. You're going.
No, no, oh, had you're not to cancel. Going? Yeah, I had to cancel.
Gotcha.
Bummer.
This is just a spot game. This is a spot game. I just think it's a bad spot for Washington. I know the defense has played much better. I'll take the team with more rest. And then the last game on the docket, we will take, I don't really know.
Yeah, see?
I don't know. I'll take the Cardinals. They've won. They're going for to win every double. I think Kyler's coming back. They have so far won every road game by double digits. They're undefeated on the road, and they've won every game by double digits on the road. So with Kyler coming back, I assume they will keep that going. They are they're 6-0 on the road. Why not go 7-0 and win by double digits? So I'll take the Cardinals minus 8 against the Bears.
Right on. So yeah, going back to that Washington football team Vegas game. After this game this week, Washington plays the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Giants. So not only could this be a letdown spot for Washington as far as just, like you said, a spot game, but it could be the beginning of something really, really bad for Washington when they, look like maybe they're turning things around just as the Cowboys were maybe losing some ground. So as we mentioned, I'm on the Cowboys minus 4.5 tonight. I'm also on the Dolphins laying the 4 against the Giants. I'm not sure who's playing quarterback for the Giants. I don't know if it's going to be Daniel Jones, Mike Glennon, Jake Fromm. I don't know who's going to be back there, but either way, like you said, Tua has been playing really well. He's reconnected with Jalen Waddle. Jalen Waddle's been massive the last few weeks. That passing game's really, really turned things up. Miles Gaskin's actually been playing pretty well as well for the Dolphins. So I think they're going to be a frisky team down the stretch, maybe play spoiler a little bit. So I like them laying the 4. I like the Jets plus 6.5. This is one of those games that I forced myself to take. The Eagles just looked really bad last week against the Giants, and maybe that's what's kind of aiding my pick here. So I expect the Eagles to go out there and win by at least 2 touchdowns because I'm picking the Jets to end the 6.5. I'm taking the Broncos and 9.5 against Kansas City. It's a divisional game. Crazy things could happen. Spready Bridgewater, you never know. Maybe they can keep it within the number there. I fully expect the Chiefs to win. Melvin Gordon might be out, so it's going to be a full game of Javonte Williams in the running game. See if Noah Fant can get things going again and Jerry Jeudy, but I like the Broncos plus 9.5. And I'm 2-0 picking this team the last 2 weeks, so we're going to go back to the well one last time, probably the last time of the season, and we're going to take the 2.5 points for the football team.
You've said you've been giving them this like the whole year on the taking Washington.
Yeah, I'm 2-2 on taking Washington so far this week. So. Or excuse me, 3-2. I'm 3-2. This week we'll make it 4-2.
You make hopefully these grand proclamations every week about Washington. This is it. This is it.
I also said that about North Carolina in college. I think I took them like 3 more times after I said I wasn't going to take them again.
Yeah. So, I mean,
not a big stick to my guns guy when it comes to betting. What can I say?
No, not at all. Not at all. All right. Do you have anything else?
I think that'll do it. Suns are hot. Cavs are hot.
Well, the Cavs are hot when Mobley's in the game. But I will say the Cavs, you beat the Mavs by about 30, and then you go on and follow it up by beating the Heat by 30 back-to-back. Pretty good.
Do we start booking tickets for Suns-Cavs finals or what?
I trust the Suns more. The Suns are hot, but Booker.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah.
I mean, doesn't really matter.
I saw somebody on the timeline was giving some Lauri Markkanen love the other day that you either retweeted or commented back on and popped up on my Twitter timeline. Love to see that.
Oh no, that was my buddy Ryan, from elementary school or whatever. We went We went, I don't know, I'm not saying he directed that at me. The whole thing about the Cavs is, I've said this before, is like Mobley, I will say this, he was not my first choice to draft. I would have taken Jalen Suggs and then moved on from Sexton. Uh-huh. Because I said this at the time, that the league is a wing league. Like, yeah, we've signed Jared Allen to a $120 million extension. He's a center. So why do you need 2 7-footers that kind of play the same game? Well, Mobley, he's could play outside on the wings. He can guard all five positions. I'll say I was wrong. I mean, I will say, look, I wasn't like, oh my God, I hope Mobley fails. I'm never that guy. I just would have preferred Suggs. Look, Mobley's been great. And then the Lauri Markkanen trade, I was like, they've traded for 3 7-footers. We still have no wings that can create off the dribble in a wing league. Like, I like that Lauri Markkanen last year, what, shot 40% from three?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Cavs needed outside shooting. But again, what are they going to play 3 7-footers as a starting lineup? Well, what do you think? What do you know? Damn sure they're playing 3 7-footers and they're playing good defense. They got the second best defense in points per game in the NBA right now. Only the Warriors have a better one. They're allowing 101 points per game. They can test the most shots in there. So look, I guess when everybody's playing small now, we'll just bring out the 3 7-footers. And last night they blocked 9 shots. They're Mobley and Allen blocked 9 shots. They're a fun team. Darius Garland's played great. It does suck that Sexton's out, but no, it's been great. But yeah, no, that was my buddy about marketing. Cause in our group chat, we were like, Markkanen trade, like how many bigs are they going to have?
Yeah.
No, that's Cavs talk. I don't know. What's there to say about the Suns? Nothing. They just win.
They just win. All we do is win, baby.
That there is something that about a team that's been struggling and then starts playing much better, and you can see the growth like on the come up. That's very exciting.
Yeah.
And like, you're in the difference thing. This was when the Cavs were in the finals. The Cavs never won 16 in a row. But it's like, you're in the finals. It's a different type of fun. Like, you're almost expecting to go out there and win. And it's fun to watch. But like, the Cavs were like, all right. Well, they play Washington on Friday night. Big game on Friday night against Washington. Let's just work. You're excited to see them play.
Right.
It's a different, you're excited for different reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, who knows? Hopefully they can contend for the play-in spot. They've already got 12 wins. I did bet Mobley the other night to win Rookie of the Year. I'm not a big futures guy on that because I just hate the money sitting in the account right there. It's just out there. But at like plus 350 still, I thought that was too. He wasn't the favorite still, so I thought that was pretty good odds. I'm there. All right, and then one thing I have. Before we go, we have 2 races left in the Formula One season. It's a back-to-back. This week, Street Circuit, Saudi Arabia, Jeddah, new track. They're still finishing up as we speak right now, construction on the paddock and stuff. And then next week in Abu Dhabi. Pains me to say it. I think Lewis is going to clip him for the championship. Max at the end, but we got 2 races left. The thing about this race is, so you're probably not going to watch it, starts at 11:30 this weekend on Sunday. So it's going to bleed over into the NFL, but shout out the NFL scheduling a Browns bye week. We don't have to contend with that. But 2 races left. If you want to watch it, it's up there on Sunday. We're in Saudi Arabia. And then next week, the race starts at 7 a.m.
Yeah, I think Louis has a great chance if he continues to try to kill Max. So other than that, there ain't no stopping Max for stopping.
Well, I think I told you this. I think Max... So Max can win the championship this week. He has to outscore Lewis by 16 points, which I think means Max wins and Lewis gets 6th or lower with Max gets the fastest lap. I mean, there's a scenario, and I don't think it's going to be far-fetched, that they go into the last race of the season next weekend in Abu Dhabi, and Max is on the pole or Lewis is in second, or flip him around, whatever. They're starting on the front row. No doubt in my mind, Max won't give, he won't crash him and Lewis out to win the title. I think that is in play, and I think there's a good chance that could happen next week.
I would love it.
That would be quite the television, too. I mean, that would be, it happened once before in like the 70s, I think, when I went back and saw something tweet out, but that would be quite, quite the move.
Yeah. But be exactly what he deserved.
All right. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody have a good weekend. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.